Well, it never stops in the Gaza Strip, does it? The death toll has risen over the weekend. Israel has killed more people. Israel, according to reports, has killed the second top militant from the Palestinian Islamic Jihad group. Six children and several PIJ fighters, including some leaders, are among 32 Palestinians who are reported to have died. Nearly 600 Palestinian rockets and mortar fire have been fired at Israel since last Friday, according to Israeli officials. The thing that I get so confused about is there isn't just one Palestine. There are a number of Palestinian groups who are at war with Israel. Dr. Keith Suter is our man of international affairs, managing director of the Global Directions think tank, and he's on the phone right now. Dr. Keith, good morning. More bloodshed in the Gaza.
Yes, clearly peace is not going to break out in this part of the Middle East for quite a while yet. Following on from what you're saying about the different Palestinian groups, it is very confusing indeed, although they themselves know where they stand, even if it's confusing to those of us on the outside. So, as you say, the fighting has been triggered by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Now, this is a small, well-organized group formed around 1981 and is a proxy for Iran. So the dates of its formation are very important. So we get the Iranian Revolution in 1979,
yes,
when the Ayatollah Khomeini comes to power, humiliates the Americans. Mm-hmm. And I date 1979 as the beginning of this long war in which you got various Islamic groups fighting Western countries and others. Now, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad was formed by people living actually over the border in Egypt, and they are hardliners.
Yes.
So they don't take part in Palestinian politics. They are opposed to the peace process which has been developed. Their attitude is we want to get rid of Israel, and there'll be one Palestine run by Palestinians. If the Israelis want to stay on, well, they'll be there in a junior capacity. But they prefer them not to be around at all. So that's the Palestinian Jihad. These are the really hardline individuals. You've got another group called Hamas, which is formed from the initials of the title Islamic Resistance Movement. They're also not very happy with the peace process. They were formed in 87 when you had this spontaneous uprising called the Intifada, which took everybody by surprise. They have taken control of the Gaza Strip since 2017. So today's Palestinian entity consists of two territories. You've got what's called the Gaza Strip, which has about 2.3 million Palestinians, and that runs down the Mediterranean. And then on the other side of Israel, you've got what's called the West Bank territory, which again, is Palestinian, but with a lot of Israeli, hardline Israeli settlers on it. So that's the second group you've got to bear in mind. Let me just give you the third one,
which is
the grandpappy of all of these organizations, which is the Fatah movement, a Palestinian Liberation Organization. You may remember Yasser Arafat from all those years ago. So he was secular, someone who... another group which was around his time was actually a Marxist group led by a Christian. So these are old-fashioned lefties. What you're now dealing with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and the Islamic Resistance Movement, are people who are religiously based. So these are strict Muslim groups, very different from the old-style Palestinian politics. They were the ones, the old-style groups, were the ones that got involved in mediation by Norway and others, trying to sort out how to get a peace process underway in the Middle East. And they were willing to work for some sort of deal. Whereas you've now got these newer groups, much more hardline, religiously motivated Islamic groups, and they're not interested in any sort of deal. They're out to destroy Israel and create their own homeland.
Dr. Keith Suter is with us, expert on international affairs. You've done this before on my program, but if you could again just describe the size of the Gaza Strip. It's only a very, but you'd be surprised how small it is.
Well, the whole of the length of Israel is basically from Newcastle down to Sydney.
Yes.
Out to the Blue Mountains. So we're talking about a very small area of land. Very crowded. And so that is the essence of the problem. I think there are too many people making too many claims on too little land.
You said that really the beginning of this war started in the late 70s, but hasn't there really, there's been conflict there since 1948?
Well, I would go back to the Romans.
Well, sure.
But 2,000 years, and the destruction of Jerusalem in the first century. And the Jews then being expelled from their homeland. Some Jews remained, but others were just expelled. They went to Europe. Some actually ended up going to China. So we find Jewish places of worship on the old Silk Road towards China. So they got scattered. And then in the days of the Ottoman Empire, the rise of the Islamic empire centuries ago, obviously that whole area was much more thoroughly taken over by Muslims. And of course, you had a three-way struggle. You've got the Jews who see it as their homeland. You've got Christians who want to get access to the land. And then, of course, for the last 1,300 years, we've had the Islamic influence as well. So it's a three-way struggle for trying to get access to that land, the Holy Land.
Look, I know if you knew the answer to this, you wouldn't be talking to me at this ungodly hour of the morning. But where is this headed?
Who knows? The real worry is always this thing will flare up. Remember, you've got Iran, which under the Shah was very pro-American. It was the U.S. police officer for the Gulf. He was overthrown in 1979. Iran has become much more of a theocratic country, in other words, religiously dominated one. I was in Iran in 1973, and it was a very modern and go-ahead sort of country. Mm. I was unaware that boiling beneath the surface were all these very strict Muslims who are wanting to get rid of all this Western influence.
Yes.
So what we see then is that Iran is fighting Israel in Gaza. So you have all these proxy wars. So Iran is fighting Saudi Arabia in Yemen, and Iran is fighting Israel in Gaza. And Iran is a very big, important country, much bigger and more important than Iraq ever was. It's a much bigger population with much more access to oil, etc. Mm. Now, Obama, to his credit, tried to reduce the tensions by negotiating a nuclear deal between Iran and the Western world, whereby Iran would agree not to develop their nuclear weapons, and the Western world would then lift the sanctions and enable the Iranian economy to pick up. Donald Trump came, and that was one of his biggest achievements. Donald Trump came to power and then cancelled that agreement because he cancelled everything in which Obama tried to achieve. He hated Obama so much. The result is the Iranians have said, we're not going to do any more deals with the Americans. We've had negotiations to try to repair that damage that Trump caused. Those negotiations are not getting anywhere. And so Iran is also taking the point of view that perhaps it is now on a collision course with the West. There is this messianic element to all these politics in the Middle East. People who are expecting the end of the world, and you will have nuclear exchanges, etc. It's a very dangerous situation indeed.
It's a very dangerous world when you look at Ukraine and Russia, when you look at Taiwan. Now, in the Middle East, as you say, it's been going since the Romans. But it's just fascinating to hear you once again. We're talking about a strip of land, folks, from Newcastle to Sydney and as wide as Sydney to the Blue Mountains. That's it, correct?
That's right,
Yeah. Dr. Keith Suter, always good to talk to you, always informative. Thank you for educating us, and we'll talk soon.
Indeed. Thank you, Luke.